Oh, that was just so nice. Yeah, it's fun. Just so you know how this music got created today, I want to share the story with you. In case you didn't catch it, Elton and Katy Murray are not in the same room at the same time. This is still July 12, 2020, but they kind of folded time this week. Elton's not been feeling well. He's having some health issues that don't appear to be COVID related, but on his good day in between bouts of not feeling so well, he recorded his songs at home and then sent the tracks to Katy Marie, who got the bass part, and then they got melded together to be presented to you this morning. Ah, isn't that just amazing? Yeah, you guys, like, you bent space to do this, and that's just, I mean, I know we can do that with technology, but how cool is it? And we're finding all kinds of ways that we can connect and do things with each other that defy what we thought we could do a year ago or a few months ago. So this is incredible. I have to tell you that the theme of the talk today is about acceptance and surrender, and I've had to do a lot of that just to get this talk together. Because a lot of the parts of it just didn't quite feel like they gelled, and so I couldn't figure out how it was going to be, and I woke up this morning and I just said, "Okay, God, you have to take the reins here because I really don't know what I'm doing." And it's a nice treat when I do feel like I know what I'm doing. Because then, you know, it's already kind of, you know, melded in there. But then I do have Sundays where I don't feel like it's congealed yet. So I'm not sure what you're going to hear this morning. I have some ideas though. And part of that idea of acceptance and surrender is really being in that free-floating place of not knowing. And the only thing we have left to do is either grab hold and try to make life adjust to our uncertainty, which almost certainly fails, or we have to surrender to the next moment, the next moment, and the next moment. And we have to accept that God is present all the time and within us all the time, or else we're just banging our heads into the wall. And there have certainly been plenty of opportunities over the last 6 months for us to bang our heads into the wall. And I have a feeling it's not over because we're still humans and we still have an uncertain present that's going on right now. And so giving ourselves over to God, surrendering everything that we know and believe and think, and everything that we think we can control, everything that we think we can manage and maneuver and manipulate to make it work for our highest good is usually insufficient. And so when we surrender ourselves to the spirit that lives within us already, to the great overarching spirit of the universe, then that's where our freedom is. And that's where the paradox is. We give ourselves up in order to be freer. And this teaching is shared not only from New Thought and from Christianity, but what I have today for you are some readings from Judaism, Hinduism, Taoism, and Islam about this very same topic. And that's why the theme for the rest of this month is about the universal truths and sharing with you that the train of thought that we follow and have followed in Christianity all these years is not exclusive just to us. They are universal truths because they work for everyone. So I have to tell you that this has been a week of reflection for me because I turned 65 this week, which was not as nearly as difficult as I thought it was going to be, especially with that shiny new Medicare card and Medicare drug card, Medicare doctor card, and all those things. That's really kind of exciting. But it's been a time of reflection because getting to 65 is not what I thought it was going to be. It's actually better, Because inside here, I get to feel like a young person, that I still feel like I am, and many of you, I know what I'm talking about. But I have a little bit of that wisdom, a little, that I've gained over the years to kind of blend with it. And also a good healthy dose of not really giving a hoot about what people think. That is very liberating, because I used to be very caught up with what people thought about me. Now I don't care. Okay, I care a little bit. And so, you know, I do put on makeup and clothes, you know, that are suitable for this, and I hope I deliver a good talk. So I care that much. But caring all the time about who we are in the world is, it binds us. It constricts us. So I've had a lot of time to reflect, and especially last night, kind of accidentally got into a movie with my sons by Spike Lee, who I really admire as a filmmaker, and his work is especially relevant, as relevant now as it's ever been, to bring attention to the injustice and the inequality of Black Americans, and that then begins to encompass all people of color. So the movie, I can recommend it to you if you're ready for it. It's called The Five Bloods. And it's about some Vietnam veterans who go back to Vietnam to try to find the body of their fallen comrade. I had told myself after I watched the movie Full Metal Jacket, which was after Platoon and Apocalypse Now and all that spate of Vietnam movies after, you know, a few years after we got out of Vietnam. After Full Metal Jacket, I wouldn't watch another Vietnam movie. And I had to leave in the middle of this one. I couldn't watch the whole thing because it took me back to the 70s and late 60s. I was just short of, had I been a male, I was just short of in my years being qualified for the draft. But I had a lot of friends who went, older friends, older young men who were still kids and went to Vietnam. Some of them came back, some of them didn't. One of them left a child over there, and I've wondered about that child over all these years because those children were never accepted by the Vietnamese people or the American people. And so it brought up a great deal of sadness, and it brought up the memories of watching the nightly news and seeing those skirmishes and seeing those places we were trying to capture, and fighting against people who knew their terrain, they knew their territory, they knew how to fight there better than we did in a lot of cases. So there's nothing pretty to remember about Vietnam except for the youthful hopes and dreams of the men and some women who went there, and then what it was like when they got back. Still breaks my heart. Still breaks my heart. And for all of you Vietnam vets that are out there listening, my heart aches for you today. And then I began to think about the rest of my earlier childhood, and one of the things that I've spent my life doing is getting to this surrender and acceptance part. It takes a lifetime, I think, of giving up and giving up and giving over to master the skill of acceptance and surrender. I grew up during the Cold War, and so there was an underlying fear all the time about the communist countries when I was a kid. I was 8 years old and loved John Kennedy when he was assassinated, and my dad worked for the Atomic Energy Commission for a while, and we lived in one of the most radioactive places in the entire United States when I was in elementary school, and did drills about what to do if we got attacked, which were futile. And so there was always fear. I remember just growing up with a lot of fear, even though I was given a lot of freedom as a child to be able to do things and run around in the neighborhood more than our kids are able to do now, because times have changed. But with that underlying background of fear in my life, it carried over and carried over, and I'm still uncovering little pockets of fear that show up. And now we're living in a time in which we're suspended from everything. And every place that we go, if we go anywhere, we have to act not out of fear, but out of caution and a good, safe health practice to protect ourselves from a disease we don't understand completely. So here is that element of fear that could be there for us. We can use that to become the impetus for being conscious, for being aware of our surroundings. We can use that as the thing that tempers our interactions with others who are in fear. Because if you haven't noticed by now, if you're on social media at all, people are defending their points of view, and you can see where they're fear-based points of view and when they're not. And I've witnessed people knock heads over the issues of the day, but I've also witnessed people beautifully dialoguing about what's going on in our world right now in a way that brings understanding and compassion for each other. That's encouraging. That's hopeful. That's what we want. And that's what we can contribute to, is to surrender to our unknowing, to surrender to the fact that there is a lot that is driving people right now in ways that are not particularly pleasant to witness. But that does not exempt us from embracing others with compassion and with as much understanding as we can. So the whole theme of the life of Jesus and the other prophets, as we'll see, is to have a spirit of non-resistance. And don't mistake non-resistance as giving up or ignoring. It just means managing one's energy about the things that we see and hear that we disagree with, that we have no control over. It's about our energetic use. We cannot like something and still not use up all our energy disliking it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So non-resistance, acceptance, surrender. They seem sometimes antithetical to what we are supposed to be doing right now. But how much control do we really have over anything besides ourselves and our actions and our thoughts? That's what we have control over, period. We don't have control over other people. We don't have control over politics. We don't have control over other countries. We have control over ourselves and our thoughts, our responses to life. That's what our affirmations are about. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. That's a good affirmation to have. You acknowledge that which is disturbing your soul, and then you say, but nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul, because God lives here. This is God's temple. So see, I haven't even gotten to the other faiths of the world yet. But this is important to remember as we're going through a very uncertain time. I realize today that I don't carry my planner around with me anywhere, because there's nothing to plan, really. I usually save all my planners, so if I want to go back and look at when something happened, I can look. I can journal, but as far as a planner, like this is going to happen on a certain day, it's all empty. It's all empty. The one piece of planning that I have is what we're going to do on Sundays here in our classes. So I set little alarms on my phone when it's time to do the Thursday moment of reflection. And I set my alarm to get up here to be on time here for Sundays. But as far as writing down all the day's activities that I have planned, not there. Weeks and weeks of blank pages. And one day I'll look back at that journal and go, wow, what was going on? Oh, yeah. We were in the middle of a pandemic, the only one of my lifetime. So here is the first reading I want to share with you, because it will be familiar to you. This is from Christianity, and this is from the book of Matthew 6. This was in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Well, I sometimes am, but not the way Jesus was talking about it. Okay. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? And this is where Jesus was coming from. For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But here are the key words. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. One of the translations says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. That's the moral of the story. Not about the birds or the grass. It's about put God first and don't worry about everything else. And that in the Talmud from Judaism, whoever has bread in his basket and says, what am I going to eat tomorrow, only belongs to those of little faith. From Jainism, my clothes are torn, I shall soon go naked, or I shall get a new suit. Such thoughts should not be entertained by a monk. At one time he will have no clothes, at another time he will have some. Knowing this to be a salutary rule, a wise monk should not complain about it. That's pretty plain speaking right there. Sometimes we're going to have just exactly what we need for the day. Sometimes we think we don't have it. We always have exactly what we need. If you're having a struggle with abundance in your life right now, with prosperity in your life, always ask yourself the question, do I have enough for today? Do I have enough for today? And let tomorrow take care of itself. From the Quran. This is so beautiful because this ties everything together. The Quran, the Prophet Muhammad was born in about 600 CE, and so had the benefit of seeing world religions that came before him. So from the Quran, who therefore shrinks from the religion of Abraham, except he be foolish-minded? Indeed, we choose him in the present world, and in the world to come he shall be among the righteous. When his Lord said to him, surrender, he said, I have surrendered myself to the Lord of all being. And Abraham charged his sons with this, and Jacob likewise. My sons, God has chosen for you the religion. See that you die not, save in surrender. Why, were you witnesses when death came to Jacob? When he said to his sons, what will you serve after me? They said, we will serve your God and the God of your fathers Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac. One God, to him we surrender. That is a nation that has passed away. There awaits them that they have earned, and there awaits you what you have earned. You shall not be questioned concerning the things they did. And they say, be Jews or Christians, and you shall be guided. Say, nay, rather the creed of Abraham, a man of pure faith, he was no idolater. Say you, we believe in God, and that which has been sent down on us and sent down on Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob, and the tribes, that which was given to Moses and Jesus and the prophets of their Lord, we make no division between any of them, and to him we surrender. So there is the great legacy of faith, beginning with Father Abraham. The great legacy of faith, and the common theme through all of it all is surrender. Surrender to God, surrender to God, surrender to God. And so, what does this mean for us today? For me this morning, it was waking up saying, God, this is your talk today. Let the words of my mouth echo that which is in my soul, which is fed by you and you alone. Not you like out there somewhere, but you in here and out there. Islam says, call on him with fear and longing in your hearts, for the mercy of God is near to those who do good. And the Quran has a great edict that one of the big parts of our spiritual life is to serve humanity, to serve humanity in every way that we can. My friends, right now, let me tell you that what you can do with your resources, if you're able, is to support not only your friends and neighbors who are in need, but to support those family-owned businesses, to support the arts and musicians and museums and the places that are not able to be open. Let your funds go there. Let your funds come to this church so that we can continue to bring you this every Sunday and Wednesday night and Tuesday afternoon and Thursday afternoon and all the other times that we manage to get something together for you, so that we can all be one until we're face to face again. And oh my goodness, I do miss you so much. One of the things that's hard about these Sunday talks is not being able to see all of your faces. So I make sure that as many faces as can sit right here in the realm of the camera, so that I have a few faces that represent all of you that I can speak to. This is hard. This is hard. And yet, there is something gratifying about surrendering to the challenge of it. The technical challenge of it, the reframing of my whole vocation to do this, not being in the company of the people that I serve. not physically. And yet, we're together. We're together. My heartstrings are right now, I can feel them pulling, tugging, because they're connected to you. Don't forget. In the Omoto Kyo, which I think is Shintoism, I hope I'm correct on that, to fear God and commune with Him is the whole secret of faith for those who serve the cause of the true God. And notice commune is in there, being in contact with. From Habakkuk, which is scripture for the Hebrews and Christians, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. So if you can think of that as being right here, the Lord is in His holy temple. God is right here. Keep silence. Go outside and keep silence with the God of all creation. That's a holy temple. Do you know I'm hearing a bird song right now that I have never heard before? I have no idea what kind of bird it is. And I haven't found an app yet. I'm sure there's an app for that where you can record a bird song and it'll say, oh, it is this bird. But I'm hearing a bird whose song I've never heard before, and it's delightful, and I'm okay with the mystery right now. And please don't get on social media or text me and ask me what it sounds like, because I won't be able to sing it for you to identify it. So we're just going to be good with the mystery for now. Thank you. From Hinduism, the wise man, this is a sequence here, the wise man and woman should surrender words to the mind. And this should surrender to the knowing self. And the knowing self should surrender to the great self. And that should surrender to the peaceful self. You get the sequence there? It either goes deeper and deeper and deeper, or wider and wider and wider, whichever way you want to look at it, because there is no linear structure to God. Again, from Hinduism, those who surrender to God all selfish attachments are like the leaf of a lotus floating clean and dry in water. Sin cannot touch them. Renouncing their selfish attachments, those who follow the path of service work with body, senses, and mind for the sake of self-purification. Those whose consciousness is unified abandon all attachments to the results of action and attain supreme peace. Wow. Those are sweet, sweet words for us to hear, my friends. So sweet. From Sikhism, how may it be called fear? No other resting place is except thee. All that happens is thy will. One might be afraid of it if anything other than God held any fear. To be shaken with such fears is sheer perturbation of mind. In Central Texas speak, that's when you're perturbed, you need to turn to God. And finally, from Judaism, from the Mishnah, he who submits to the yoke of the Torah liberates himself from the yoke of circumstances. He rises above the pressures of the state and above the fluctuations of worldly fortune. Oh my goodness, we are experiencing the pressures of the state, the larger state, our state of mind, and above the fluctuations of worldly fortune. They come and go. They come and go. They come and go. And all we have left is God, ever. Ever. That's what we have left. So in the next 2 weeks, I'll be talking about other concepts that are shared by all these major religions. But it seems like the first place for us to start is to give up. To give up ourselves to God. To accept what is. To change things we can. And those of you who know the Serenity Prayer, that's a really good one to be praying right now every day, several times a day. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, which is a lot. The courage to change the things I can, which is right here and springing from right here. And the wisdom to know the difference. And the wisdom to know the difference should step in when you feel yourself getting all knotted up because you want somebody to do something differently. The wisdom to know the difference can kind of smooth that out a little bit. So we'll be talking about some evolutionary concepts in our spirituality as we go, but we have to start here. We have to start with acceptance, and we have to start with surrender. And I'm not going to get down here and do it right now because I might not get up gracefully, but if you're having trouble with surrendering because you don't know where else to turn about a matter, about your boredom, about your disorientation, about what to do about life going on right now, just get on your knees. Because our bodies sometimes have to tell us how to be humble. And surrender is all about humility. Man, I don't know it all. I am not going to figure it out. Can I even figure out what I'm feeling today? No. So I'm just going to give it up and let God show me. I'm going to let God show me. Still having trouble? Okay, I will get on my knees. Still having trouble? I'll get out that prayer rug or that yoga mat and I'll put my forehead down too. Because we are creatures of the divine. Absolutely vital to the workings of the universe. And yet, this incarnation is but a speck in time. And that's a paradox that we must reconcile throughout our lives. Absolutely essential. Absolutely finite in this incarnation. Not in our souls. That first part of being absolutely essential means that your soul's growth is essential to everyone else's soul's growth on the planet that ever was and ever shall be. So surrender is a good place to start. Acceptance is a good place to start. Embracing God and communing with God is a good place to start. And if you're listening to this talk today and you say, well, I've already got that part. I'm thinking maybe we have to get that part incrementally. I'm thinking that we have to get that part on the days when we're not our best selves. Okay? Okay. So let's meditate for a moment. Why don't we? Once again, I'm going to make eye contact with the camera so that if you care to join eyes with me, please do so. And if you would prefer to close your eyes for meditation, that's fine. So as you breathe in the breath of life, you are inhaling from the infinite into the infinite. This body that you're wearing today is composed of materials that are found in the stars. So if you can identify that which has been heavy on your heart, today or in the days past, If you're feeling the ache of humanity and all the souls that are leaving the planet today, if you've got something that is yet unresolved in your mind and heart, bring them to the altar of the infinite today so that you can just leave them there. You can surrender them. And beloved, your busy human mind will say, but what am I gonna do? And that's okay. Just tell it you've got this handled, because you and God are working together. You worried about what the future holds for all of us? Except that we do not know. And there is some freedom in that acceptance. Are you worried about what the future holds? Surrender that too. Oh, beloved, we are part of the cleansing and healing of the planet right now. And it is vital that we elevate ourselves every day, every week. Above our mere earthly existence, so that we might lift up our consciousness and therefore lift up that of all others. And even when we're in the midst of the battle between that which is true and good and that which is small and mean, that which is based in fear and that which is based in love, even as we're in that battle, we know that this is the way the universe begins to bring itself to balance. So hold fast to your love, to your surrendering, to your acceptance, to your generosity and compassion. Hold fast to being at peace with your unknowing. And beloved, today we take into our hearts all those who are suffering, because their pain is not bigger than our God. And so we help them carry the burden of their pain. Because there is not a them and an us. It's all us. And if you're overwhelmed by that knowledge, by that knowing, the answer is to surrender it. And so let your weary heart be filled with hope. Let your unknowing mind be at peace. Let your abundance be shared with those who have less. Spend your energy wisely. Be at peace, beloved. All is well. All is well. And you're doing great. You're doing great. And so it is.